In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In our gospel this morning, we hear of a miraculous act of healing through which our Lord demonstrates that in him, God and man are reconciled. And through our hearing of this gospel, we're invited to bear witness to this reality. It is in this scene that we see this, meaning the chains of sin, brokenness, and death being loosed by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. This happens not merely in concept or idea, but in reality. Our Lord takes this man aside from the multitude. He puts his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched the man's tongue. And then looking up to heaven, he sighs and saith, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Our Lord heals this man who was once deaf and had a speech impediment with his actual body, his actual fingers, his actual breath, spit, mouth, and with his actual words reaching out to heaven. In a similar way, we've gathered here this morning, not merely in an idea or in concept, but actually in flesh and blood and body and bone. We come bearing our own brokenness, our own impediments, our own temptations, and we call out together, Ephphatha, be opened. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, be to us what only you can be. Heal us, strengthen us, preserve us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, mouths that praise you, hearts that embrace you, and wills that long to obey you. O giver of every good and perfect gift, have mercy on us. We do this most plainly this morning through the altar, through the ministry of the priest, who standing in the person of Christ presents our offerings, our own sufferings, our alms and oblations, in spite of our many distractions and limitations, to the throne of God. We do this as a church, not just in thought or in concept, but in reality. We are all members of one body. We've been called to gather this morning from our own homes, our own neighborhoods, our own towns, our own little world, you might say, each with their own pain and suffering, their own impediments, their own deafness, their own tongue ties. And on behalf of the world, we come. We look up to heaven, sigh, and say, Ephphatha, be opened. Do you see your participation in the ministry of our Lord this morning? Just by your presence here, just by your gathering this morning and your participating in the liturgy. The liturgy is indeed the work of the people, the work of the people of God. The work of the body of Christ. That we would somehow grasp the glory of what we've been invited to participate in this morning. That we would actually bear witness to the reality that we're taking part in. Oh, that we would be like the deaf man and be opened. We come to bear witness, to look to heaven, and to present the reality of our broken lives and our broken world. We present these to God, not because he's unaware of what's going on, but because he's invited us as members of his body to participate in the ministry of heaven. He's invited us to be the finger in the ears of a deaf world, to be the spit on the tongue of a world that has not seen and cannot proclaim the glory of the risen Son. Friends, you have been, and you are actively being reconciled to God through Christ. And in so doing, you've been made ministers, ambassadors of reconciliation, members of the body of our Lord who is reconciling God and man. And maybe you're like me, but I find it odd that after our Lord performs this miraculous healing, he commands those who witnessed it not to say a word. Tell no man what you saw before you today. And what did the people do? They went out and told anyway. He commanded them even more. Don't tell a soul. And all the more they published it abroad. Now we have to know that our Lord knew that ultimately, even though he told them not to, they would go and tell, for he knows the thoughts of man's heart. We also have to know that he was not afraid. He was not afraid that if somehow the word got out too soon, he might be arrested too early and his plan might be thwarted. He tells Pilate in the end, "You could have no power over me except if it were given you from heaven." It's the same idea that no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. Our Lord is not afraid that somehow if word gets out, everything would be ruined. So why then does he charge them not to speak? I don't know about you, but I think any answer to this seems to maybe touch some, but not all of the reason why. So I'll offer you two thoughts this morning. What I do know is this, that by our Lord's commanding them not to speak and their going out to speak anyway, we get this very stark and convicting contrast with our own lives. These people witness a miraculous healing. The ministry of heaven through the person of Christ breaking out into the world, healing, mending that which was broken, gathering in that which once was far off. They witness this glorious act of redemption. And yet they were told not to speak about it. But their astonishment, their amazement, their conscience drove them to tell all the more. That's what they did. And here we are. We live on this side of our Lord's glorious resurrection. He is presently seated at the right hand of the Father. Week by week, we are invited to see heavenly glory, to participate in heavenly worship, to eat heavenly food, to receive heavenly mercy, to be made clean by the coal given to us from the throne of God. This happens to us every week. This is the reality we're invited to glimpse into. And yet it seems so often that we sit on it. We hide it under a bushel. Each week in the Mass, we're sent forth. We come bearing witness of the brokenness of the world, and then we're told to go, depart in peace, take the goodness and the glory of God out and bear witness to that reality in the world. By your baptism, you've been set free to walk in newness of life. In the Eucharist, you receive mercy from the throne of God. You're made clean, sent forth. We come to bear witness to the brokenness of our little worlds to God, asking him to have mercy. We then glimpse glory and receive mercy, and our call is to go out into the world and bear witness of God's glory to a broken and hurting place. So That's thought one, if you're still tracking with the two thoughts. Thought number two, and I don't think this is why our Lord does it, commands them not to speak. But he had to know that it would be effective. To be told, to be given some prohibition, somehow makes the heart grow in passion. So I invite you this morning to come, to receive grace and mercy from the altar, to glimpse into heavenly worship, to be made alive by the life through the body and blood of Christ. And I charge you to tell no one about it. Brothers and sisters, have we not witnessed much? Have we not been forgiven much? Come then, let us love much, and let us show forth the praise of God, not only with our lips, but in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.